This weekend, we have a day that's set aside for remembering. A day for remembering and for patriotism as we think about all who have served our country and especially those who gave the ultimate sacrifice of their life on the battlefield and serving our country. And so we want to remember all of those on this Memorial Day. It's a day for remembering those who continue to serve us, wear the uniform of this country. It's also a day that we remember loved ones, family and friends who have died. And I know on this weekend, there's a number of folks who spend time going around to cemeteries and placing flags and flowers there. And so it's just a time of remembering those who've gone before us and the impact they've had on our lives. But especially as we gather as a country, and remember, we think of those who gave their life in service of our country. Our scripture this morning comes from a book of battles in Joshua. After Moses, Joshua became the leader of Israel. They had been wandering for 40 years, and Moses got to see the promised land as he looked across the River Jordan. He wasn't allowed to go in as that generation was punished for their unbelief, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. But Joshua has led them into the promised land. Earlier in Joshua, we see the walls of Jericho falling and God just providing victory after victory in battles that are there. They've entered the promised land to have it divided, the 12 tribes of Israel. I always wondered as a kid why there wasn't a tribe of Joseph, but as I got older, I learned and realized that the two sons of Joseph were the 11th and 12th, and the Levites had no land, and so they weren't divided. But we still divided it, the promised land into 12 pieces for the 12 tribes of Israel. And this promised land was a gift from God. We read in Joshua, they've gone in to conquer and inhabit that. And so let's read our scripture this morning. It comes from Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 14. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. The word of God for the people of God. 45 years earlier, Caleb had already visited the promised land. And God made a promise back then, and Caleb remembers it. And in our scripture here that we've read, he reminds Joshua about it there in verses 6 and 7. He reminds him that, you know, we were sent in as spies to check it out. He was one of 12. There was a leader from each of the 12 tribes of Israel who went in to check out this promised land. Caleb represented the tribe of Judah. Joshua, who's now the leader of Israel, was one of those spies. And he represented the tribe of Ephraim. And they found this land that was full of milk and honey. It was a beautiful place. And you know, it was a place that their father Abraham already knew about. That's where God had encountered Abram there and brought him there. And so God's giving them back this promised land. And here 45 years earlier, they had found this beautiful place, this beautiful promise. The problem is there was some downsides that some of the other spies were a little concerned about. There were giants there, but didn't bother Caleb, and it didn't bother Joshua. They gave a positive report. We can go in there. And Caleb was able to see Hebron, the city of Hebron, and that's where Abram had met God and built an altar there. And we also read in Scripture that later on, that's where Sarah, Abraham's wife, passed away. But God had promised Caleb that he could have the part of the promised land where he had walked, and that included this place where Hebron was. But as I said, the 12 spies, as they came back and gave their report, 10 of them said, "Oh man, there are giants in there. They have fortified cities, they have armies, they have, the people are huge. We just can't do it." And those of us who are familiar with the story realize that that's why they ended up wandering for 40 years. God said, "Well, if you can't even believe in me, you don't deserve the promised land. I'm going to let the next generation take the promised land and provide it to them." And so they wandered for 40 years for that unbelieving generation to die off. Those 10 spies, when they were in there, they saw giants in the land. And in their minds and in their hearts, they saw a little God. And where Caleb and Joshua were just the opposite. Caleb had a great God, and he saw little giants. He didn't see it as a problem. So often, and it happened back then, and it happens to us today, we become problem conscious versus power conscious. We're more concerned about the problem before us than we are about the one who can supply the power to overcome them. And certainly that applies in all of our situations, but be part of our pandemic situation today. As we can be positive, we can pray, we can do our part in progressing this so that we can get to the other side. But in the meantime, we understand we're going to be okay. Even though we understand some are getting sick and some are dying, and that's terrible, and we need to pray for those families. But we do want to realize that God can get us through this. We need to be power conscious, not problem conscious. It seems like it's a lesson that it's hard for us humans to learn. And I know on Wednesday nights, a lot of times when we've gone through Bible, it's like through the Bible and read certain parts of it, we see, well, we haven't changed a whole lot in all these hundreds and even thousands of years. But we need to be conscious that we have a great God. And the problems out there are just little giants. They might appear to be giants, but they're little compared to the great God that we serve. And Caleb had that problem with his fellow spies. Caleb was willing to not forget God's promises. And he didn't. Here he's coming 45 years later to remind Joshua of a particular promise that God had. But it wasn't the only promise that Caleb has always laid hold to. But we find it here in our scripture. You know, as they went through those 40 years of wandering, I'm pretty certain that Caleb wasn't part of the grumbling crowd, because they grumbled a lot. We can read that in scripture. And we have a lot of grumbling sometimes today. And Caleb wasn't part of that grumbling crowd that wandered for 40 years, because he understood the promises that God had shared with him and shared with the people of Israel. He saw what God did to bring them out of Egypt, and even as he supplied all their needs in their wandering for those 40 years, God supplied their needs. And so I'm pretty sure Caleb wasn't a part of the grumbling crowd. And I pray that we aren't either, even in the midst of all that's going on today, that we're not part of the grumbling crowd, that we are conscious of the promises that God has for us, and that he will see us through whatever life brings, and we can lay hold to that promise. Caleb was on his way to something better. All through his life, he remembers God's promises. Caleb reminded Joshua, "I followed the Lord God wholeheartedly." Caleb remembers his commitment to the Lord. He was wholehearted. That's not a word, at least not for me, it's not one I just throw out there in my normal vocabulary. But this wholeheartedness, this full surrender, this man of God that Caleb is, he's totally dedicated. He's committed to the Lord and to doing what the Lord asks of him and calls him to do. He did it as he was part of that group of spies that went in. And he was thinking about what God could do as he was committed to going into the promised land and doing and what God asked and taking it over as God asked. But that had to be put on hold, as we've mentioned, for 40 years. But he was committed. Some of you will remember the old story of the pig and the chicken taking a walk on the farm. And as they're walking along close to the highway, there's this billboard in front of them. And it's a local restaurant that shows a picture of a breakfast. And there's orange juice there. There's a glass of milk. There is a couple eggs sunny side up and several slices of bacon. And the chicken says, "Look at the service that we provide mankind." And the pig looked at the chicken and said, "You might call it service, but I call it total commitment." That's what Caleb had for his God. He was wholeheartedly committed to him. And Caleb stood apart. He and Joshua stood apart from the other 10 spies as they shared the fear that they had of these giants and those fortified cities. How in the world could we ever take over this land that God wants us to go into? But Caleb and Joshua understood the God that was sending them in could deliver that land to them. It was a gift from God. And they stood apart. Do you remember the victories that you have in Jesus Christ? Do you remember how God has seen you through things in the past in your life? He still does it yet today, and we can stand apart as we rely upon him, as we commit to the Lord, our very lives and the activities that we engage in. We can commit them to the Lord. We can do that just as Caleb did in our scripture today. Perhaps you remember the day you were saved. I know I do. I know it was in the bedroom upstairs at Wonder Lake, Illinois on a Friday evening. I don't remember the date, but I do remember it was a Friday evening. And I remember the room that Jesus came into my heart and saved me. Perhaps you remember a time, either the day you were saved or another time where God impressed upon you to make that full surrender. You know, we sing the song, "I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender," wholeheartedly standing apart in our commitment to the Lord. And the other thing that we see in Caleb is that he never lost that first love. The first love that Jesus speaks about as he spoke to the church at Ephesus. He said to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, "These are the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and walks among the 7 golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Jesus liked what Ephesus was doing as a church and as a people. But it was a concern that they had lost their first love. And as we look at Caleb's life in this brief picture that we see as he comes before Joshua, reminding him of that promise, we see that Caleb has that first love. And he never lost it. Even in the 40 years of wandering, he had it in his life before that. That's why he was such a positive spy as the 12 went in to spy the promised land. And he was positive God could do that. His first love could take care of giving the land that he had promised. And so we can see that Caleb is indeed committed to God, and he never lost sight of that first love. You know, God kept him alive. He makes the exclamation in our scripture today, "I'm 85 years old, and he's ready and raring to claim his inheritance." God, he remembers God's faithfulness to him. He remembers his faithfulness to him in his life. He said, "I'm only here, and I'm only this 85. I've survived these last 45 years as we wandered in the wilderness, and then these last five as we've been coming into the promised land, and the walls of Jericho God took care of, and we can read about other battles that have happened in Joshua." And Caleb says, "Here I am. I have life. God has kept me alive through all of this because of his promise to me and because of my commitment to him. He's been faithful to me." And so he's thanking God for his very life. And perhaps a question for each of us: when is the last time that we thank God for our very lives? When's the last time we thanked him for keeping us alive? You know, for Caleb, except for Joshua, everyone else he had known when he was 40 years old is gone. He and Joshua are the only ones that survived from that day 45 years earlier. It's what the wandering in the wilderness was all about. And so Caleb is thankful for God being faithful and providing him life and keeping him alive. But not only keeping him alive, he's given him strength. You know, he's exclaiming, "I'm 85 years old." And as we read his statement there, it's not like most 85-year-olds I run into in my world. He's not what we would call a normal senior citizen. He's ready to fight. He said, "Let's go. I'm ready to go in. I'm ready to take what belongs to Judah. I'm ready to take on the giants. I'm ready to get to acquire what God has already promised. I'm ready. Let me go do it." And we can read later in Joshua that indeed Caleb and the people of Judah and the people of Israel do continue to take over the promised land. And Caleb was able to get his land that God had promised. And scripture tells us that there was no more war. The land rested from war after that. Had that strength from God, that faithfulness. And God provides us strength for each day as well. But sometimes we don't rely on it. I know I'm guilty of that at times, not relying upon the strength that God is faithful to supply, to take care of us through the day and give us the strength that we need for the day. Caleb remembers God's faithfulness and the care that he took. God did supply not only Caleb's needs, but everyone else's. Caleb remembers his faithfulness, even in the wandering. He remembers back in Egypt how God was faithful. He remembers God taking them out of Egypt. He remembers the supplying their needs through the wandering in the wilderness. And he knows God is going to take care of them as they enter into the land that God had promised, the tribe of Judah specifically had promised to Caleb, their leader. God had been taking care of him, and he takes care of us. You know, John Newton, when he wrote the words that we know as "Amazing Grace," you know, he said, "Grace hath brought me safe thus far." That's how we've got to today, is by the grace of God. And it's how we'll get through today. And it's how we'll get through the tomorrows of our life. Caleb understood that. And it's important for us to understand that today, to remember God's faithfulness to us. Our NIV reading, it's, "Give me this hill country." In the King James, it's, "Give me this mountain." It's like Caleb saying to God, "Give me the best. I know that this belongs to Judah. I already saw it 45 years ago. I'm ready for this promise, God." And as he comes to Joshua, he says, "Give me what I was promised. Give me your best. Give me this tough task. I know there's giants in there, but I know God will take care of things for me. Let me at it." You know, remembering, as Caleb did as he came before Joshua in our scripture today, remembering things, remembering those promises, remembering the commitment, remembering God's faithfulness, those remembrances should challenge us That's what remembering should do for each of us, as we remember those important things and even the little things throughout our lives. Remembering those memories should challenge us. Like President Lincoln's words did at Gettysburg, when he shared that 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Beautiful words from President Abraham Lincoln. And a challenge in there for us to be devoted, to be committed, to remember the promises of God, to remember His faithfulness, and commit ourselves to living for Him. As we remember why we have a Memorial Day weekend, may we also remember Caleb, the leader of the tribe of Judah. May he inspire us. May he challenge us to remember God's promise of eternal life. And eternal life is not just for the future, but eternal life is for the here and now. We have that beautiful gift from God. May we each day move on to high.